Today on Real Radio.
Christianity should be marked by a lot of things. One of them is rest. But you got to understand it and you got to be able to recognize it. My heart is often at rest. My soul, I should say. My soul is at rest. Okay, I know that God is going to save me, take me to heaven. I know that my name is written in the book of life. I don't doubt my salvation because I know what His Word says, what He's able to do.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give You my praise. My heart is in Your hands. Let me feel Your touch. Lord, I live for Your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the Old Testament narrative of Ruth. We're looking at chapter 3 and focusing on the last four verses. It's part of the wonderful account of Boaz meeting Ruth and the two falling in love. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs in a presentation called Love Will Find a Way.
And we've got to really climb inside Ruth's heart and see what's happening. She has got to be excited. Remember our last time together? She, by Naomi's encouragement, she got all dolled up. And she's smelling good. She's looking good. And she goes to the threshing floor. And remember, it's late into the evening. The winds would blow at that time of the year. And they would take the grain. They would put it in the windiest part. And but in Bethlehem, where many of us will be in a matter of weeks, my goodness, we'll visit one of these threshing floors. The wind will blow in the afternoon. And what they would do, of course, they would throw that grain up into the air and the chaff would be blown away and the grain would fall to the ground. And then they would bring it all together. And as the days went by of harvesting and then separating and then coming to this point of threshing, they would all gather by hundreds, many, many hundreds, and they would sing songs and psalms. Some of the psalms that you have in your Bible, they would sing them. There would be musical instruments played, and there'd be a very festive time, a very colorful time. Well, remember in chapter 3, in the first five verses, Naomi suggests to Ruth, hey, isn't Boaz down at the threshing floor? I tell you what you ought to do. You ought to get all dressed up and go on down there. And it wasn't some spur of the moment radical thing. You know, if you've been here, and boy, if you haven't been here, you need to get the tapes, because it's not going to make much sense to you. But, you know, you go down there, and when he lays down, you notice where Boaz lays down for the night. You watch. So you be talking to your friends that you've made over the course of the 6 to 8 weeks that she had been there, and you be talking to them. But when he lays down, you kind of notice where. You know, girls can do that kind of stuff. They're just good at that. Guys, it's like, huh? And, you know, somebody will have a baby in the church, and so they'll say, oh, Pastor Jack, so-and-so had a baby. Great. That's great. And I really mean it. That's great. I'm happy for them. And then, you know, I'll step out of my office and any of the secretaries in the office will say, was it a boy or a girl? It's a baby. Well, how much did it weigh? I don't know. Well, did it have blonde hair, or did it have black hair, or no hair? I mean, was it long? It was a baby. And guys are kind of like that. Well, you know, Ruth is like, she's watching, taking notice of everything. Why? Because she was all dolled up and all ready to present herself to Boaz in her response in that culture of saying, yes, I will marry you. She's accepting his proposals that he's been making toward her. And she would have noticed where he laid down. Then she would have gone over there when things had quieted down. And the poor guy, remember, he's asleep. And she lays down her feet just away from his feet. Now, I almost wish we had an overhead projection, Chuck Missler presentation. You know, she's not laying alongside him. That wasn't acceptable. She didn't put her feet on his head. You know, she put her feet opposite his feet. They're 180 degrees apart. So they're like this, but they're not touching. And he's sleeping, you know. So this is the guy I'm going to marry. You know? And she grabs that blanket and she pulls the blanket off of him up to her chin. And doing so, she is saying, I accept your proposal. I take your covering. I'll be your wife. It's really romantic and incredibly cute. And there's angels with violins and cellos in the background. It's really a neat time. The lights are dim. The, you know, smile on the face of the moon. And it's a pretty neat time. So all this is taking place there at the threshing floor. And so she is no doubt very, very excited. And in that moment of oh, this is it. Boaz announces to her, yeah, you know, you are such a godly girl, and I love you so much, and this is really great. And it's true, I'm a near kinsman of yours. I mean, I am qualified to redeem you out of your poverty and out of your widowedness and be your husband, but there is one guy who has legal right to you more than I do. And that was a tremendous blow. She had never heard such a thing. And all of a sudden, this monkey wrench has been thrown into the wheel, so to speak. And so we picked the story up in chapter 3, verses 15 to 18 this morning, and we'll read it and then come and look at it. And I got to tell you that if you would please circle verses 15 to 18, it's quite possible that we will see this morning that this is exactly, if you're a Christian this morning, this is exactly where you're at in your walk with Jesus. Exactly. This is where we're at. Listen. Also he said, verse 15, bring the shawl, or the veil, some of your Bibles say, cloak. Bring the shawl that is on you and hold it. And when she held it, he measured 6 ephahs of barley and laid it on her, and then she went into the city. So when she came to her mother-in-law, that's Naomi, she said, is that you, my daughter? And then she told her all that the man had done for her. And she said, these 6 ephahs of barley he gave me, for he said to me, do not go empty-handed to your mother-in-law. Then she said, this is Naomi speaking, sit still, my daughter, until you know how the matter will turn out. For the man will not rest until he has concluded the matter this day. And what in the world is taking place here? Well, one thing I want you to remember is that Boaz had earlier said to her last time in our study, he said, I will perform. If the one who's got the legal right to you cannot perform the right of marrying you. Remember, we looked at him as the type of the law. Whoever that person was, we don't know his name. He's, in some respects, at this point, unknowable. But we know that he has a lot of power over Ruth, but she's never met him. By Hebrew culture, by the standard of the lands, there's this man whom she's never met, who's connected to her by marital lines. Ruth had married into a family of Hebrews, and now by doing so, when her husband died, he's now a dead Hebrew, right, man, she's left alone, but not exactly, because now there's this one by Hebrew law who has the right to redeem her and to redeem her property and to take ownership. But she doesn't know who he is, and she doesn't want to know who he is. But he's got every bit of legal right on her. She doesn't love him. She's just now heard about him for the first time. But Boaz looks at her and he says, don't worry. You rest tonight. You lay down. You just take it easy. If this guy won't perform it, or if he's not able to perform it, I'll do it. Now, it's possible. I don't know. It's possible that Ruth may have fallen asleep that night because she trusted Boaz. Well, he said it. He'll do it. I don't know how he'll do it, but you know, he's come through before. He'll do it. And she might have just went to sleep. Or she might have been so excited, she stayed up all night and just wondered. Maybe with, you know, excitement. What's happening? But I bet you Boaz laid awake all night thinking, all right, how's this going to happen? Let me see. Figure this thing out. He did the guy thing. Working it out, every scenario. What about this? What about the other deal? Preparing all the battle strategies. But he says to her, and he said to her last time, last week, or whatever we met last. I feel like I've been gone forever. I haven't been gone. It was just last week. No, Roger Oakland was here last week, right? The week before. He says to her, Boaz, don't sweat it, sweetheart. You just lay here for the evening. You be calm, and I'll take care of it. I'll perform the duty. And as the Lord lives, you lay down until morning. It's a beautiful, holy moment. You know, in Matthew chapter 8, verse 18, the Bible says, now when Jesus saw a great multitude about him. There was a multitude about him. They didn't gather with signs about him. They gathered about him. He couldn't move. And in Matthew 8, 18, the scripture says, when they were gathered about him, he commanded the disciples that they should depart. They had to get out of there and get some rest and be alone and take a break. In Exodus 23, verse 12, the Bible says, 6 days you shall do your work, and on the seventh day you shall rest, that your ox and your donkey may rest. And the son and the female servants and the strangers may be refreshed. Take a break. Boaz says to Ruth, lie down until the morning. You rest. There's a lot going on, but you rest. What's happening in my life, Boaz? What's exactly going to turn out? You just rest. He didn't command it. He didn't shake his finger at her. Don't you wish you could have been there? Don't you wish you could have heard the tone of his voice? I want to hear him say it. I want to hear him say, you know, you just rest. He might have had a big smile on his face. He might have like given her a little wink. You just rest. You mind if I keep stealing your blanket? No, you just keep it for tonight. She's just at peace. Resting. Christianity should be marked by a lot of things. It should be hallmarked by a lot of things. One of them that I think should be preeminent is rest. But you got to understand it, and you got to be able to recognize it. My heart is often at rest. My soul, I should say. My soul is at rest. Okay, I know that God is going to save me, take me to heaven. I know that my name is written in the book of life. I don't doubt my salvation because I know what His Word says, what He's able to do. Okay. Nothing's going to change that. I know what He can do, and I know what He's going to do. So my soul's at rest. As the psalmist says, it is well with my soul. But the physical attribute that, or one of them that I have, is insanity. I mean, I go nonstop. I don't like to sit still. It's a waste of time to sit still. What do you accomplish by sitting still? I want to see something. And God has always worked in my life to try to break that, and He's never gotten quite through. When I used to work at Baxter Healthcare in this lab, I was given this budget and a project, and the budget was millions, and the time frame to develop a project was years. And that's about the worst thing you could ever do to me. Because you see, I want to see something done at the end of the day. I think those of you who are involved in construction, that's got to be the most gratifying thing you can do. You pull up to a site, there's nothing there. A bunch of dirts. And there's rabbits running around or whatever, you know, and it's, all right, bring it in, and the tractors come. And at least at the end of the day, you can stand back and say, that's a big hole we dug. You know? You can see something. And have you ever gone, it's like 8 months. And then the manager walks in and goes, well, what have we done in the last 8 months? You know, a lot of this stuff's still on the drawing board. Waiting. We don't like it. But Boaz says, be still. You just calm. You take a rest. Jesus says, disciples, come away from the crowd. Let's take a rest. God tells the nation of Israel, the Jew, the commandment, make the Sabbath day holy. Take a break, will you? Let your donkey sleep in. Let your ox kick back and go goof off in the field. And then he says, of your servants and of your sons and of the strangers even in the land, let them be refreshed. The word refresh means to resort or to recreate. Recreate, we get the word recreation out of it. You want to keep the Sabbath? Experience recreation in Christ. The word can also be translated water skiing. What do you do? In your Sabbath moment, do you draw the curtains and say, this is the Sabbath? But mommy, shh, it's the Sabbath. Can we go swing in the backyard? Be quiet, it's the Sabbath. No. No, you are to be recreated on the Sabbath. Recreation. Well, Jack, are you saying that we should like go out and like, you know, plan all of our vacation, goof off, Disneyland, whatever? I'm saying that you are to be recreated on that day. Now look, some of us, when we go on vacation, we need a vacation after we come back from our vacation because we're so tired. That's not good. Yet take your Bible and whatever your thing is, if it's your snow ski or if it's your backpack or if it's your driving or whatever you do, take a break. And for the New Testament Christian, guess what day the Sabbath is? You read your Bible? Read Book of Romans? It's every day of your life. Did you know that? Every day is a Sabbath. Somebody got on my case a while back at my front door and they said, well, you're not of God. And I said, you're right. No, I'm kidding. No, I'm just joking. You're not of God because you don't worship on Saturday. Well, what's fun about this place is we have services on Saturday and on Sunday. And so you come back right at them and say, well, what do you do on Monday? Because we have a new believers class that meets on Monday. What does your church do? You know, if you're going to play that kind of a game, pick a day. Paul the Apostle says, hey, one man thinks this day's holy. One man over here thinks that day's holy. Paul says, that's great for that guy, and it's great for that guy. Paul says, I take every day the same, and I love them all, and I worship God, and every day's my Sabbath. Isn't that great? That's how you're supposed to live. That will put cardiologists out of business. Melanta sales will plummet. Resting in the Lord, just resting in Him. And I struggle with that. I mean, I know He's great and wonderful and everything like that. My thing is trying to keep, you know, my body to keep up with what I want to do. And the Lord says, come away, take a break, take a rest. We spoke at a prophecy conference yesterday, and it was just a crazy thing. I had been scheduled really early in the morning to speak, and so I, by virtue of last week, we were away at a conference, and that's why Roger Oakland was here, and it was just an extremely insane week for me. And so I got up at 3:30 yesterday morning to get some things together, and then I had to get down to the LAX because I had to fly out for this thing. And when I was coming into land, there are these as you're coming along the coastline, there's these mansions. I mean mansions. And it's funny how one of these homes had a river flowing through into this huge lake, and then it would go, somehow it'd be channeled back up behind the mansion, and the river would flow down again. And I'm not talking a pond. I'm talking a lake and a river where you could probably do kayaks in. Seriously, it was that big. And this huge house. And I'm doing fine, and I look out this window, and it's right on the coast. And I'm just going, that's really nice. That kind of stuff doesn't bother me. You know, you can have a mansion, I don't care. It's just not my thing. But I looked at this place and I went, that's nice. And I probably fell in love with the yard more than the building, you know what I mean? And it's like you could like go moose hunting in this guy's property, or fishing, or whitewater rapid thing. And this conference was in Santa Barbara. So then we land, and you know, Santa Barbara's a pretty nice place. And so we land, and the guy picks me up, and we get there. And I'm doing fine. You know, I'm like in the spirit. Okay, Lord, tell me what you want me to say to these people. And oh, God, fill me with your Holy Spirit. And, you know, and these are the things that goes on inside the pastor's mind when he's smiling at you. It looks like you're cool. But inside you're going, God, help me. And I was doing pretty good, and vehicles don't bother me. You know, I know I make a lot of jokes about Suburbans and stuff because they're just a great vehicle. But, you know, I'm fine. But Porsche has made this thing called the Boxster. Have you seen it? Oh, don't even look at it. I'm warning you. I'm doing fine. I'm going to go up to this place to speak on spiritual matters. I see this house and I'm just like, oh, and it's never been a problem before. I want that house. Why? It's got its own river. Let me think. I wouldn't have to go on vacation. I could just stay here. I could be more accessible to the church. And the Porsche. Do you know how fast you can get to a hospital visitation when you have a Porsche? Pastor Jack, I'm sick. I'll be right there. And I had to say, you know, godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness with contentment is great gain. I had to convince myself. Rest. We associate things that we can amass around us. If this will make you, okay, that'll help me, I rest, and this will help my rest, and I want five of these, and this one's just right, and that will help my rest, and if I can just drive one of these, or if I can fly one of those, or if I can sail in one of these, it'll help my rest. And it doesn't work that way.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. In a look at the Old Testament book of Ruth, chapter 3, and verses 15 through 18. It's a presentation called Love Will Find a Way. And we'll pick up with part 2 on Monday's edition of Real Radio. You know, the account of Ruth meeting Boaz is such a beautiful love story, and it's a good example of how to do things the right way. So we're making available Pastor Jack's presentation on audio CD called Ruth and Boaz, Falling in Love, God's Way. It's just $10 and serves as a wonderful source of biblical wisdom in this area. Ruth and Boaz, Falling in Love, God's Way. You can order by telephone, you can write us, or visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. To get in touch with us here by telephone, our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or, for the cost of a stamp, write us at Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 917-09. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 917-09. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.